Gracious God, may we have ears to hear and faith to believe the divine mystery of Christ, even though we have not seen with our eyes. Amen. I started on this sermon thinking of things that you do not see, yet you know are there. Air and wind came to mind. We don't see air or wind unless it is carrying visible particles like dust, smoke, or smog. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." My daughter-in-law teaches language arts at Cheney High School, and she has introduced me to literature I would never have discovered on my own. All the Light You Cannot See is a book partly about how in World War II the Germans triangulated known radio transmissions to locate and destroy enemy targets. Then there is gravity. I am a firm believer in gravity. I have even conducted gravimetric surveys. While gravity is not visible, it is measurable, and we know how much we rely on gravity to keep us grounded. Ah, electricity too. Currents running through the wires. So many things that are invisible to our eyes, but knowable by our other senses. Isn't that the beauty of creation? What we do not perceive with one of our senses, sight, hearing, smell, touch, or taste, may be detectable with another or with a combination. What is that sixth sense we sometimes feel when a situation isn't quite right and we feel the tiny little hairs on the back of our neck stand at attention? There may be danger coming. Get ready to fight or run. I am sympathetic with the fearful disciples. They hadn't fully processed the brutal crucifixion of Jesus, and they may have been wondering if they were next to die on the cross. They were too frightened to leave the locked room and do the work Jesus had commissioned them to do. For some reason, they didn't believe the women who told them Jesus was risen, or a Mary Magdalene who said, "I have seen the Lord," and repeated to them what Jesus had said to her, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Scripture doesn't tell us why Thomas wasn't with the others, what he was doing or where he was, only that he was not with them. While the disciples were cowering behind locked doors, I imagine Thomas out in the countryside pounding the pavement, sharing the teachings of Jesus and fearlessly proclaiming the good news of the kingdom coming near. When the disciples told Thomas that they had experienced the presence of the risen Jesus, he only wanted some kind of proof. I think we need skeptics like Thomas, folks who look at life from different perspectives than our own, contrarians who have their own ways of learning. You teachers will know that Thomas was a tactile learner. Jesus said to Thomas, "Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Jesus is alive because we who have not seen make him so. I wonder how many times Thomas told the story of that encounter with the risen Jesus, and how many came to believe because Thomas' story was so passionately compelling. Thomas is thought to have started 7 churches in Kerala, a state on India's southwestern Malabar coast. I wonder if these were the 7 churches in Asia mentioned in today's reading from Revelation. Jesus dwells in us when we invite him into our heart. We dwell in Jesus when we love and care for our neighbors and share the good news. We have not seen Jesus, but we accept him as Lord and Savior. When we renew our baptismal vows, when we break bread together and in the prayers, when we promote God's kingdom with our presence in this community and with the sharing of our time, talent, and treasure. Let us be strong in faith and rise with Christ to share our newness of life with any who are seeking new life, reaching out to embrace the woundedness of our world, never doubting that we can make a difference. The Lord is risen. Alleluia, alleluia, amen.